NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Adrian Ma.
Today, we are joined by very special guest, Alina Selyukh from NPR's Business Desk. We're here for Indicators of the Week.
Hello, hello.
Good to have you.
I'm very excited. Can't wait to hear your guys' indicators.
That's right. We are checking in on the dipstick into the engine of the global economy.
Am I on Car Talk? Where am I?
What are we doing? We're not on Car Talk, but there will be some Car Talk later in this episode. hint, hint. But before that, Alina is going to talk about why cocoa prices are rising. Darian's going to talk about a sweeping decision that could reshape India's upcoming election. All this coming up after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley. Support for NPR and the following message come from State Farm. As a State Farm agent and agency owner, Lakeisha Gaines understands the support small businesses need.
Every day, we get the privilege of helping people to recover from the unexpected, realize their dreams. For small business owners, we help them to think about all the things that are necessary so that they can continue to run their businesses successfully without interruption.
Talk to your local agent about small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Indicators of the Week, Alina, talk to us first.
Well, I brought a mystery bag of chocolate.
Oh, my goodness.
Surprise. That's because my indicator has to do with chocolate.
Yes.
And my indicator is 47 years. And that is the last time we saw cocoa prices anywhere near their current level. Cocoa futures have now beat the all-time record, which was in 1977.
There was a dark year for chocolate lovers.
It was a long time ago. That's a full year before Hershey even introduced Reese's Pieces. There was a world before Reese's Pieces. So it's like a really long time ago. Hotel California by the Eagles had just come out, and so did Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. But back to cocoa. So it's the one thing you must have to make chocolate. Its price has been grinding upward for about 2 years. Prices more than doubled in just the past year. And this month, right before Valentine's Day, the price for the most active cocoa futures in New York passed $5,600 per metric ton. And the previous record, 47 years ago, was less than $5,400.
All right. So what's happening?
Yeah. So extreme weather is the culprit. Most of the world's cocoa is grown in West Africa, roughly 2/3 of the world's cocoa, like Ivory Coast and Ghana. And farmers there have seen their cacao beans just decimated by bad weather year after year. Rain and flooding, more rain, more flooding, then the dry season with high winds. All of this has led to pests and disease. Harvests seem to be on track to fall short for the third crop year in a row.
Okay, so it seems like these climate events are really putting the squeeze on the supply of cocoa.
Yeah, and companies like, you know, Nestle, Hershey, Mondelez, which owns Cadbury and Milka, they have been raising chocolate prices for a while because they're saying, look at all these new costs we have to deal with. This data firm called Euromonitor that tracks prices told me that their estimate is that we will be paying about 16% more for chocolate this year compared to 3 years ago. And some of these companies say more price hikes are likely to come this year because, you know, it's not clear when we'll see healthy cocoa crop again. We're looking at Easter and especially Halloween potentially seeing the worst of it.
The supply might fall, but the demand for cocoa never goes down. I just have to ask, what's in the bag?
It's chocolate-covered almonds.
Oh, I love chocolate-covered almonds. I'm super jealous right now. Okay. Very interesting indicator. Thank you, Alina. Darian, take us to India.
Very good. I'll take you on a tour of politics in the world's biggest country. They've got elections coming up by May, and that means a lot of political spending in India. So going into these Indian elections, there is a favorite, and that's Prime Minister Narendra Modi's ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, or the BJP. And one reason they're the favorite is that they get a ton of donations. In fact, 90% of large corporate donations go to the BJP. And that's my indicator for today, 90%.
That seems like a pretty slanted campaign advantage.
Yeah, and a reason for this is this thing called electoral bonds. Now, they're not really bonds as you might think about them here. They don't pay interest or anything. They're kind of like vouchers for political donations. And how they work is if you want to donate money to a political party, you go to the State Bank of India. You hand over 1,000 rupees or 10 million rupees and you get a bond. And then you give that bond to the political party you want to donate to. And the State Bank of India knows who you are, but your identity never needs to be revealed publicly, even if you donated millions and millions.
So it's like dark money?
Super PACs?
Yeah, super PACs is like an interesting analogy where it's a legalized form of not being transparent at the moment. And Raghuram Rajan is an economist at the University of Chicago. He was once the governor of the Reserve Bank of India. And he has two major problems with the system.
You don't know who the donor to the incumbent party, what they're getting in return. Are they getting easier loans from the public sector? Are they getting easier permissions from the government for the things that they want to do?
And the second problem he has might explain why the ruling BJP has such a high share of donations, that 90% of large corporate giving. So remember that the State Bank of India knows who made those donations, and that means the government knows.
An unscrupulous government might threaten the businesses of entities that give to the opposition. And so this is a way of funding which skews it enormously towards incumbent governments.
And on Thursday, India's Supreme Court agreed. It ruled that these electoral bonds are unconstitutional, and that's because they aren't transparent.
Do we know if now suddenly everyone's going to know who donated to whom?
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court did order the State Bank of India to release information that could expose identities. So sunlight might soon be shining on that dark money.
Oof.
And speaking of transparency gone awry, tell us about what happened with Lyft this week, Adrian.
Yes, so my indicator involves the ride-hail company Lyft, and the number is zero. This past week, Lyft released a report detailing its recent financial performance and also making some predictions about the company's near future. And in these predictions, they said that the profit margin it collects from rides would increase 500 basis points this year. So 500 basis points is the same as 5 percentage points.
So they're going to take a bigger cut from every ride.
That's right. You know, sounds like very good news for the company. And immediately, the stock for Lyft started to move. The price went from $12 a share to $15 to $20 a share. At its high point, it was up about 67%. All this happened like within minutes of this announcement. And so a lot of that spike in the price may have been robots just catching wind of the number.
Algorithms, right?
Yes. They did their algorithmic thing. The problem was that it was a lie.
It's a big problem.
Okay, so not really a lie, but that 500 basis points number was wrong. It was actually supposed to be 50 basis points.
Oh no, there's the zero.
That's right. They added an extra zero by mistake. Lyft realized this pretty quickly, and about half an hour later, they were on a call with investors saying, sorry, we boofed. They also put an updated press release out. And then later, the CEO of Lyft even went on Bloomberg TV to apologize.
First of all, it's on me. There are a lot of eyes on this press release, but at the end of the day, my bad.
So it's his bad, but there were a lot of other eyes on this press release.
So since then, the stock price has jostled around a lot. It was dipping. It kind of looked like it was going to fall back to that $12 area where it was before. But no, now it's back. And actually, as of this taping, it's almost back to that $20 a share it was during that kind of unexpected spike. So it kind of looks like this oopsie moment on Lyft's part may have actually helped jumpstart the rise in its share price.
You might say it is lifting the stock.
I...
What a missed opportunity.
Extra credit for you. More chocolate-covered almonds.
More chocolate for me.
This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Sino Alfredo. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez and edited by Patty Hirsch. Kagan Cannon is the show's editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.